So tonight we're going to have some, I'm sure a sponsor back there in the back would help me pass out some papers and some pens. I know they look busy, but I'm sure they can figure it out somehow back there to do that. You guys are so helpful. Thank you for doing that. So sweet. So sweet. I hope you do. I wake up and say, what can I do for the Lord? But you know, whatever works. All right, here's the thing. If your pen does not work after multiple times of trying, then please, 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 throw it away. Don't go put it back in the basket because that doesn't help me. And then somebody else gets it and goes, ah, this doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, go throw it away, come back and grab another one. Mr. Braddock, can you leave that basket once you're done on top of there? And then that way they can just come grab it if they need it. I'm glad. That makes me smile.
As her answer,
yeah. I don't know what's good. Jesus is better than this answer. Oh, nice. All right. Once you've got your pen and your paper, let me have your attention. We're going to be done in just a few minutes. All right. I don't know about you. I don't know what you enjoy the most about the Christmas season. One of the things that I enjoy the most, and I have in my vehicle, I have 93.9 on right now because it is North Pole Radio. So I enjoy songs. Now, I don't just enjoy like the new songs, you know what I'm saying? Like the Pentatonix, although I do. I really enjoy the Christmas classics. The Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Silent Nights, the, you know, all those things, White Christmas, they all deck my halls. I just enjoy it a lot. And thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. I'll be here all week. So I enjoy all those things, but I got to be honest with you. We often get wrapped up, no pun intended, but we often get wrapped up in the surroundings of Christmas rather than in the actual classic story of Christmas. So, for instance, let's read some classic Christmas verses, and then we're going to talk about them here for just a minute. Chapter 1 of Matthew in verse 18 is where it starts. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying," by the way, the prophet is Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, didn't know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." These are verses that all of us have grown up hearing. I mean, you've gone through live nativities, you've heard it read on TV, your parents may even sit every Christmas morning or Christmas Eve around in your living room and read the story. In fact, if I were to ask some of you to tell me the Christmas story, probably a lot of what you would say would be quotes from Scripture. You would start off with something along those lines, like, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," and you would start off in this portrayal of these verses or Luke 2 or somewhere along the way where you've heard the Christmas story and we've gotten so familiar with it. Now, I got to be honest with you. The Christmas story to me has gotten dull. Like whenever I hear the Christmas story, it doesn't have, I will look forward all year long to hearing a Christmas classic song but be okay if I never heard the Christmas story during Christmas. Like, I don't know if you can identify with that, if you're just like, oh my gosh, you're terrible. But for me, there are a lot of times on Christmas, around Christmas, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to turn on North Pole Radio. But then someone's like, let's talk about the Christmas story. I'm like, heard it, you know? Like, my mind goes to, I've grown up this in my entire life hearing the Christmas story. Don't need to hear it again. But, you know, Silent Night, you know, like, I'll start singing that out loud. So where is the breaking point where we will look forward to hearing a Christmas classic song but then be turned off or turned away from a Christmas classic story upon which, in fact, the whole idea of Christmas is about. Now, I appreciate what Christ did. I really do. I don't look at it and go, oh, man, well, the Christmas story, Christ coming to earth, or anything like that. I've just heard the story so much that it's become just like dull in my mind. So I want to give us some principles for me and for you, because I think all of us get to this point, some principles that help us make the Christmas story back into a Christmas classic that we enjoy. And here's some principles. You have three of them there. Number one is this. It's personal. It's personal. The Christmas story is personal in two ways. Number one, and you can write this underneath. It's not on there. But number one, God did this for you. Like, I want you to get that. I don't want it to be that you think to yourself, oh, here we go, talking about the Christmas story again and all of its luster and all that. God of heaven came down for you. It's personal. First blank is personal. He came down for you. If there was no one else on the face of the earth, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what your flaws are, God would have left heaven to come to earth because he loved you. It's a personal story, but then put yourself in it in a second way, and that's like become a part of the story. Could you imagine, guys, being Joseph? And you're super pumped about marrying this woman who has caught your eye from a young age, and now you're engaged and you're getting ready to get married. And I know, ladies, you dream about the wedding day, guys dream about the wedding night. And so they're thinking, like, oh, I'm engaged and I'm getting ready to marry this woman. Oh, this is going to be fantastic. And then you find out that she's pregnant. So here's the thing. If I'm in that story, I am not thinking to myself, oh man, this must have been of the Lord. Like, I know we can look back at the story in its completion and think, oh, this was by God. God visited Mary and said, the angel appeared and said, this is what's going to happen to you. And Mary said, be it to me as it would be. And so it happens. Then he visits Joseph and says, here's what's going to happen. And Joseph goes, okay. And then it happens. That's not what was going on. Because Joseph finds out she's pregnant from Mary, and he has to believe that she was visited by God, and that's how there was a baby. That had never happened in human history before, and it won't happen after. But here's this girl saying, God did it. And the guy's going, mm-hmm. Because if you put yourself in that story, you're going, this never would have happened. You have cheated on me. I have loved you for as long as I have given myself. I have saved myself for you, and you cheat on me. And as the girl, Mary's going, I've got to tell Joseph that I'm pregnant, and I don't know any other guys. Like, I love him. He is the one I want to spend the rest of my life with, and I know the news is going to devastate him. He is going to be devastated. His whole life is going to be turned upside down. In that day and age, Joseph would have been building a house for the two of them already. So she is going to look at him and say, I have a baby. It's from God. And he's going to have to say, cool, and start building the house again. And in that day and age, that didn't happen. In fact, in that day and age, for her to go and tell Joseph that I am pregnant means he could have said stoner, and she'd have been stoned. In that day and age, not a good reason, but in that day and age, for a good reason in their minds. So she has to go and tell him this. Put yourself in the story. Don't just be like, well, they knew it from the beginning. No, they didn't. God looked at Mary and said, I'm going to put a child in you. And she goes, okay, be it unto me as you have said, Lord. But then there's no, oh, by the way, when you go to Joseph, say these magic words and he'll believe you. It's just like, peace, and the angel leaves. Now, Mary's sitting there going, oh, crap. Oh, crap. I got to tell Joseph. I got to tell my parents. I got to tell all the people. I got to walk through town like this, and they're going to go, She's not married. So all of these things are going through Mary's mind. Put yourself in the story. You're part of this thing. And you're going, what the heck is going on? Joseph has to have an angel. Now, he was a nice enough guy to say, you know what? I'm going to put you away publicly. I'm not going to put you away publicly. I'll do it privately so that you don't get stoned. You're not killed. But he was willing to do that because he was a nice enough guy to do that. But then God comes to Joseph and says, hey, this is what's happened. And he goes, okay. All right, now. I'm going to have a little one-on-one time with you. Myself, I'd be angry. Like, of all the women, why Mary? Like, why the one that I am engaged to marry? So, I'm engaged to be wed to. So, in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, okay, he says name the baby Jesus, but I ain't going to. You know, like, I would, and my personal thing would be like, all right, I'll let her carry this baby. I'll marry her, but I'll name my own son. Thank you very much. Again, you could be like, well, you go against God then. No, I'm just saying in my personal mind, my mind would not be like, okay, cool, Jesus it is, and then go from there. Put yourself in the story, man. Be personal about it. Don't be like, oh, this was 2,000 years ago, so I've just got to let it be that, and that's all that it is. Put yourself in the story. Get in place about it. Think about being in Joseph and Mary's position. Think about being in the shepherd's position, the wise men's position, King Herod's position, wherever you need to put yourself, but understand that this story is very personal, but it's also, number two, it's prophecy. P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y. It's prophecy. Prophecy is P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y. Prophecy. So here's the thing. In a day and age where everybody tells you to doubt what you hear, I understand that there will be those of you in this room that will doubt the validity of the Christmas story. Like, did it actually even happen? Because it sounds kind of far-fetched that this virgin conceives, because, I mean, Pastor AJ, we have sexual education classes in our schools. I know that's not how a baby's conceived. So this virgin conceives, and out comes God, and he saves the world. It seems a little bit like odd to me, Pastor AJ, that that's the actual Christmas story, and that's how it happened. I can tell you I have agreed with you, because it's very hard to believe. It's never happened before. What they call the Immaculate Conception. It's never happened before that, and it's never happened since. So I understand the doubt, the wonder, the I don't know if I can even believe this. I understand that. But let me encourage you that it is a well-documented fact. Now you're going to say, the birth of Christ, I know. No, it's a well-documented fact that 700 years earlier, Isaiah prophesied it would happen, and it happened to the letter. It didn't happen like, oh, he was nearby 50 miles away in a different town. It happened in the exact place that Isaiah said 700 years earlier. And it's not like, well, that's because someone wrote it at the time of Christ's birth, and so therefore that's how it was prophecy that was fulfilled. No, no, no. We have scrolls that date back 700 years before Christ's birth that say Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem in a manger. So all of these different things point to the fact that the prophecy behind this means that you can actually believe it. That you can rest assured during the Christmas season that you have to go like, you have to be scared of the Christmas story. Like, but I don't even know if it's true. Like, okay, let's read the Christmas story. But in your mind, you're going, is this even real? From all of the study that I have done, and I promise you I've done more than you, there is no doubt in my mind that Scripture is right. But that this event is the most documented, second most documented unto the resurrection. The resurrection is the most documented. But the second most documented biblical event historically, not biblically, historically in all of time. This happened. So take it and be confident in it. And because of the prophecy, number three, this becomes preachable. Preachable. Preach. Able. Preachable. It becomes able to be preached. You know what makes the story the best? And I don't mean to be trite about this, but that the best Christmas gift anyone could ever receive is Jesus. It's the best Christmas gift you could ever give. It really is. I know it sounds trite, and it's like, oh, he's the reason for the season and all that different stuff. But you can tell your friends, you can tell your family, you can tell your coworkers, you can tell whoever you want to about the greatest gift ever and not have to be afraid that it's not true. Not have to be afraid that it's not personal, because it is. Because you can relate on a personal aspect. You may say, well, how do I talk to somebody about that? Man, make the story personal. Could you imagine? Okay, we talk about this Christmas season. We talk about the Christmas party. Could you imagine being Mary when that happened? Well, I don't believe that's true. Do you know that the birth of Jesus Christ is the second most documented historical thing about the Bible? And it, what? The resurrection. The resurrection is first. The birth of Jesus is second. But as you go through and you talk to somebody and they ask what's the third, you can say, don't worry about the resurrection and birth, all that matter. So as you go through and talk with somebody about the gospel and they say, well, I don't really know that I understand about this whole birth miracle thing, you can point and say, man, 700 years before Christ came about, it was prophesied and it happened. You can tell people about it. It becomes preachable when it becomes real to you. Jesus, in fact, the Bible says in Matthew 1, that they will call his name Jesus, Connor, because he will save his people from their sin. Because Jesus was going to save people from their sins. The whole purpose that Jesus came to earth was to save people from their sin. It wasn't so that you could have your best life ever or anything like that. It was so that you could have your best Christmas ever. It's so that you could have your best year ever. It was so that you could have your best experiences ever because Christ came first. That's the reason Christ came, is because he came to save you. And so when you come into the Christmas season, I don't know what you're thinking about. I don't know where your mind goes. I don't know if it goes to, if this is another year you don't really feel like celebrating Christmas, or maybe someone's not there you want to celebrate it with, be it a family member or that boyfriend or girlfriend. Maybe you're not sure this whole Christmas thing is even true. Maybe, I understand, as a teenager, maybe your finances won't allow you to get anybody anything for Christmas. I understand, because I was there. I'm still there. But I understand that maybe your finances won't allow you to get somebody something for Christmas. But I don't know what your mindset is coming in to this Christmas, but it can still be your best Christmas ever. Because this story isn't about you, or it's not about your family, your circumstances. The story is about Jesus Christ. The whole reason behind this thing is him. It's about putting the focus on him. So let the story be personal. You put yourself in it. See yourself in it. Then understand that the prophecy is correct surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. It's the real deal that happened. Just settle it in your mind. Then go out and tell others. Go out and give the gospel to other people. Listen, our youth group is dead if we don't tell people about Jesus Christ. I love you, and I hope you grow in Christ as growing as you can be. I hope you take leaps and bounds and steps and skips and everything else in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. But I can tell you what, you will hit a brick wall spiritually if you do not tell people about Jesus Christ. If you do not look at your friends and invite them to church, youth group, whatever, if you do not spend time telling people about what Christmas is all about, if you do not take time to do that, you will never make strides spiritually. Because our first command out of Jesus' mouth is go and make disciples. So don't allow yourself this Christmas season to be sucked into the thought of, oh, it's a Christmas season again. I guess we got to sing the songs and celebrate and just go through the whole thing again. Allow it to be personal to you. Put yourself in it. Let the prophecy point it out to you. But then could I beg with you, go preach to people about it. Tell people about the Christmas story. That weird uncle, the unsaved parent, the friend of yours who needs hope, whatever it is, go tell them about Jesus Christ, because that's what makes Christmas classic. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful tonight that you allowed my voice to hold up through the entirety of the evening. Lord, I pray that as we finish tonight, Lord, I know that even in this room, there were minds that disengaged, that shut off the moment we started talking about Christmas. Because truly, Lord, we've all heard it. We've grown up around it. We're in church, for Pete's sake. I mean, we're sitting here because we celebrate Christmas, because we're here. But God, I pray that tonight the Christmas story would become a timeless classic in our minds and in our hearts, that we wouldn't just see it as another thing we have to read, or another thing that we have to talk about in youth group or in church, but it would become a Christmas classic in our mind. And just as we look forward to turning on the radio the day after Thanksgiving and hearing Christmas music, we would look forward to this month, this year, celebrating your birth, your death, your burial, your resurrection, because it's what gives us life. It's what gives us the opportunity to be here and to celebrate. So Lord, give us strength tonight to go out and preach the gospel. Would you place it on each one's mind in here, whether they listened or not? Would you put it on their mind to think of somebody tomorrow that they could give the gospel to at school? That if they go to school or when they get home or if they go to the store with their parents after school, no matter where it is, that you would put someone in their mind that they could give the gospel to tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that you'd give me an opportunity to as well. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.